I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Rick Iannucci. He's executive director of Horses for Heroes New Mexico, and Nancy DeSantis, who is director of the Cowboy Up program. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Nice to be with you once again.
Yes, nice to be here. Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you, and you guys are doing extraordinary work and have been for some years, and it just keeps on growing and getting even more interesting. Basically, the theme of your work is getting veterans who have suffered various kinds of issues in Iraq and Afghanistan and getting them on the right track and sort of in a healing process through working with horses.
Exactly. Well, horses are the key cornerstone and will always be for our program. But we came up with a pretty unique idea called skill set restructuring. And the skill set restructuring is a little bit more sophisticated. It's not horse therapy. It's not kumbaya type stuff. It's Cowboy 101, but beginning with American horsemanship. A lot of join up, getting the men and women that come to our program, the combat wounded and the PTSD rated veterans, on the right path towards wellness and healing with skill set restructuring. Basically acknowledging that the skills that they had in the military were of value, and we're going to show you how to rework them, rewrite your narrative.
What are some of the skills from the military that then get restructured through the work they're doing with you?
Well, for instance, we'll ask them, what's the last good thing you remember that you knew how to do before you got blown up? And inevitably the guy will say, hey, we were on a combat patrol in Fallujah or Ramadi or Balaj or someplace like that. And I'll say, good. Do you remember your formula for patrolling, your COCOA, key terrain features, areas of observation, avenues of approach, fields of fire? And they go, well, yeah, okay, we're going to teach you how to move cattle the same way. And they go, huh? And I said, yep, you bet. I said, you remember if you're out on a large circle, when we get you trained up on and you can sit a horse and we bring you out to one of our nine program partner ranches and you're riding on one of 1 million acres of ranch that we get to ride on in New Mexico, and that cattle boss asks you to go out and duck down there where those cottonwoods are and bring those mama cows and the babies out from there, you're not going to go whooping and spurring down there, making a lot of racket and a lot of noise and driving them just the other way. You're going to ease up on them. You're going to exit the circle, a.k.a. the patrol, not going in front of another cowboy and his cattle, because that is what? Fields of fire. If you would do that in the military, you'd end up opening fire on one of your guys. So you're going to ease on, you're going to back out, you're going to go around, you're going to look at the terrain features, you're going to observe, and then you're going to basically ease on down to where those mamas are and using your avenues of approach, and there you are, moving them back up, using all those things that you learned in the military and basically recalculating and recalibrating them to do this particular mission. And to be honest with you, that's what we have found. That's the most important thing, or one of the most important things we do, is we give them a new mission. And with the men and women that are coming out of this conflict, Iraq and Afghanistan, Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom, and Operation New Dawn, these are men and women that have served 2, 3, 4, 5 deployments back to back to back, and they've served more days in combat than maybe all their relatives did in all the wars that they ever fought. Yeah. You know, so that idea of giving them a new mission and letting them know that, hey, you don't have to walk around the mall looking for something to do. We've got something for you to do here. Let's work with you on these skills.
And you must see that kind of light bulb go off and like, I can do that.
Exactly. And it's funny because you're at the end of the day and you're dragging, because we feed everybody at our place and we just built a bunkhouse there. So we went from a day program, as you were saying, we've grown. We're now a resident program. So we went from being basically a regional, program, a veterans program, to being now a national program. We're going to be working this coming spring with the Special Operations Care Coalition and bringing those veterans in, those people in transition that have been identified as actually will be getting out of the military, people that will be moving back to the Southwest, and we'll be giving them that opportunity to work with our guys and gals that are in our program now.
And so then they're working with other veterans, so immediately there's a connection.
Exactly.
Because we've experienced things like these other folks have experienced.
Exactly. And we own our place, so they're working on the ranch. They're that camaraderie. We don't have to kick them out after a 55-minute session. You know, yes, thank you for your time. We'll see you later. Boom, we'll see you next Wednesday. Our program is ongoing. It's self-paced, but it's objective-based. So we have about a 13 terminal performance objectives that we have the program structured around. And we know, but you're only a student one time at our place. After that, you become an assistant instructor. So it's veterans teaching veterans.
There's another dimension that you add to it, which is basically stewardship of the land. And that's something that you don't necessarily learn during war, and that has such a tremendous benefit for both the people and the land.
Well, quite the contrary, though. In some of these units that are over in Afghanistan, for instance, it's their best interest to make sure that they don't kill that herder's cow or their sheep or their... So they're getting some of that over. They understand that the value of that working with the indigenous personnel. So they bring that. You can see some of that being brought to us, too. We just amplify it as to how valuable that skill is that they already have basically programmed in their mind as a skill that they've been using in Afghanistan or Iraq, perhaps.
If I may add, it's the re-experiencing. For example, the example that Rick just gave about, you know, being out on patrol and gathering cattle. So if you take somebody that had a traumatic incident with an IED while out on patrol, here they are going out in a similar situation, in a similar fashion, yet we're gathering cattle and we're re-experiencing it and we're creating a new memory.
Yeah.
So we're updating that, and that's what makes it fascinating is the neuroplasticity inside of the work that we do.
Do you find that sometimes people get into a tough situation where they're re-experiencing something and they really have to stop? I mean, they really need help. I mean, you guys, seems like you have to on some level be counselors.
Well, we're not actually counselors. What we are is comrades. And that's what we tell everybody from the beginning. Hey, you want counseling, we'll work with the VA with you. But we're not counselors, we're comrades. So you can talk to us in a whole different fashion.
Right, but when those moments come,
when those moments come, just as you listen. That's what they do in the battlefield, and that's what we do at our place. We listen, you know, and we make sure that nobody ever feels that they're alone and they're experiencing something that they can't express. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've been very successful in being able to identify that and then deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been doing this work for some time. I don't know how many years we've been getting together, about once a year, 4 or 5 years now. And what about the people who've been in this program from the beginning? How are they doing? What are they doing?
Well, several of our guys are working on area ranches, we're proud to announce. Even as importantly, many of our guys are now feeling well enough that they've enrolled in college. So we've got, in fact, one of our guys just finished his master's, his MBA at Anderson at University of New Mexico. So I about did a backflip when he told me that he had completed that course of study. So we don't actually care as much that they're working in the ranching or in the agricultural business in New Mexico. What we care about is that they were able to identify and reprogram those skill sets, restructure those skill sets, and that they've got the key now that if they can do it in something as obtuse as working cattle or you know, studying American horsemanship and doing those kinds of projects, that anything else after that is pretty easy. It's that they can apply that same formula. So a lot of our guys are doing that, and they're out in the work field, and these are guys that when we got them couldn't even light a cigarette off of another cigarette, and they're doing very, very well now. We're very, very pleased. And I might add that much of this is a testament to our partnership with the New Mexico Cattle Growers and Karen Cowan's group and the member ranches that have basically had community buy-in. That ranching community buy-in was huge to this program. Without that, like Tom and Mimi Sidwell, the JX.
Yeah, who we just had there on the other air, Tom Sidwell.
We just graduated two of our guys on their ranch. Guys never know when they're going to graduate, by the way, because it's self-paced, and they just never know when we're going to pull those two purple wild rags out and basically graduate them. But we did this past spring, two of our fellas graduated, a Marine and an Army guy, both wounded, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan, and we were very tickled that that Tom and Mimi are our partners out there in Tucumcari.
So how does that work? You have your folks working on their ranch?
What we do is we start out giving them all the basic skills on our place. And then once they're ready, we basically then offer them the opportunity that the ranches offer us. The ranch will say, hey, we're getting ready to do some spring work. You have some guys that are ready to roll. We'll say, yep, we've got two guys and a gal. And they said, bring them out. Now, if they're maybe not ready with their horsemanship skills, because we guarantee that. They provide an opportunity. We guarantee that we're not bringing Beavis and Butthead out to your place. The people that are coming out are squared away. You know, they're going to give you a good hard day's work, and they're going to listen as much as they, you know, do anything else. They're not going to get in your way, more importantly, to some of these ranchers.
Right.
So we will bring them out. We'll load up the truck and the trailer, six horses on the trailer, six veterans or better, and a caravan of us will go out to these ranches that we're invited to, and we'll do some of their spring work, their branding and things of that nature. We have a very wonderful relationship with the Laguna Pueblo and the Cedillo Cattle Association. They've been our partner now for, I guess, 3 years or better, almost 4 years now, and we work with them extensively.
You do something called, I read in your literature, low-stress cattle handling?
Yes. I know you're familiar with Dr. Temple Grandin, who's become a very big supporter of ours, and she's a wonderful woman. We've adopted, an attitude towards stewardship, basically, and using a lot of what Temple put out in her humane livestock handling. That's how we roll with, and that's how most of the modern ranchers that we work with are all operating now. The old school days of, I haven't seen a hot shot or a cattle prod in as long as I can remember on any of the ranches that we've worked at. And we have the opportunity to work with some very wonderful people, the San Cristobal Ranch out there and Lamy. So these guys are getting that idea that less is more. Easy does it. It's not whooping and spurring and creating a lot of commotion and stressing these cattle out. It's respect, and especially our Native Americans that we work with, they've adopted a lot of these techniques that we're using now. So we're happy to support that whole philosophy. It's a whole different mindset.
We're talking to Rick Iannucci and Nancy DeSantis about the Horses for Heroes program and the Cowboy Up program. Nancy, you work in particular with women veterans.
In addition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of those programs and some of the specific challenges that women are facing, women veterans.
Well, I recently completed a certification in equine gestalt coaching. And so a new addition to our Horses for Heroes of the programs that we're offering is that I'll be offering more women veterans retreats. And I've entitled it "With Wisdom Within." We've held these retreats before, and I've worked with a facilitator, but she encouraged me to go through the certification, which is a 24-month program. I completed it in 18 months because I had a lot of the horsemanship down. And the horse is not used, actually. He's my co-partner in coaching, because just as in our Cowboy Up program, when people come to us, we meet them exactly where they're at. There's no need to go anywhere else. So within the coaching, I'll do different retreats from mindfulness, which is all groundwork on the horse with the horses. Groundwork, synchronized breathing, Reiki. I'm going to be gifting Reiki to veterans so they are able to self-soothe, so they can actually help themselves go to sleep or calm down their anxiety from if they have PTSD, as well as more deeper coaching work using the EGC method.
It's amazing how much the kind of horsemanship, ranching, cowboy work, and the kind of therapeutic, you know, what you think of more as a kind of Santa Fe psycho-spiritual work have really come together in an extraordinary way.
Definitely. I've done a lot of research on neuroplasticity and resilience, and it's amazing to me that we stumbled upon this formula, especially Rick, with overlaying the military skills to the cowboy way, because that's what helps integrate those traumatic memories into updating them and integrating them into one's being. Because the idea is not to forget the trauma, it's to grow and carry on.
Yeah, and to somehow not react in fear, panic, and so on when that memory happens.
Exactly. And when you focus your awareness and focus yourself on learning a task such as horsemanship, you're not only learning how to work with horses, but you're also learning that self-control, which is paramount in working with people with PTSD. But not only PTSD, with PTSD, but even you and I.
Yeah.
It really helps you to, you know, bring yourself down and back into your center.
And part of it is just the magnificent beings that horses are, who have an awful lot to teach us.
They sure do, and you don't even have to be on their back. They have this magnificent energy that they exude, and they tap into our energy, which is how they work so well with us, because they can tell when you're in your head or when you're in your heart. And when you're in your heart, you're in your body.
And horses know that.
And horses know that.
And can I brag on you a little bit?
Uh-oh.
You're one of the few journalists that approached us, as you know, mm-hmm. and actually came out and said, I don't want to talk about this, I want to do this. And you actually did it and got to experience firsthand the process. So you worked through that process several times. And so you're kind of a rock star amongst our group, because you did step up to the plate, and instead of just yakking about it, you actually did it. So you got a better understanding of it. You've been out to the ranch, and
it's a special place. And I'm not a horse person by any means, but being on the back of one of your horses is a very special thing. And it was interesting for me, because having been out there twice, the first time I was really grounded, the second time I was running late and was kind of frazzled, and the horse responded differently.
Exactly.
Those two times.
Exactly. And that's what we tell our guys and gals, you know, that's why we start them on the ground first, you know. A lot of that groundwork and that mindfulness, and you were absolutely spot on. There is a spiritual connection. We've been able to identify a couple great links on our website. There's a great book that we use all the time that mirrors a lot of what we do and speaks to what we do. It's by a doctor as a neurosurgeon out of Pima County, Arizona. His name is Alan Hamilton. He's an MD, and he wrote a book called Zen Mind, Zen Horse, and it breaks it down how we basically conjugate this relationship that we start from our chi, working through that. I mean, we've got horses now, if you listen to them, if you shut up and listen to them, we've got one horse named Jack that'll read your chakras and tell you where you're hurting. Now, I seem to think that he can't tell the difference between indigestion and a heartache, but Nancy says, oh, no, he knows. But he'll put his head right on your chest and tell you, hey, buddy, I know you're hurting. And so that's part of the magic. I can't explain it fully. I just enjoy it, and we just rock with it.
Well, and it's also part of the bigger picture of, I think, what we are going through, which is, as human beings, having just devastated the earth to the point that we have, there is a deep non-listening involved with the way we have treated the earth as an industrial society. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is a kind of listening that, I mean, maybe a lot of farmers and ranchers have always done, but even in those fields, there's a kind of agribusiness, there's been a kind of clear-cutting and things like that. And once you start doing that listening, you can't help but treat the earth and its creatures more respectfully.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that builds right in. If you go on our website, horsesforheroes.org, you can follow along and see many of the guys and gals going through basically a transformation, a spiritual transformation in many respects, a physical transformation, because they're healing their body and they're healing their soul as well, and as well as their mind. And so all those things are happening together. And we've come to, Nancy and I have been coming to, we basically stopped calling it post-traumatic stress disorder, and we call it post-traumatic spiritual dissonance, because what has happened is it's a wound to the spirit. Anytime you spend that many days at that level of combat, I'm former Green Beret, so I can relate as to the, you know, to that impact that has on much of their souls. In many cases, they're asked to do things that are patriotic but counterintuitive. So how do you rectify that? How do you get in a gun battle with a 14-year-old kid on the streets of Fallujah, and then rectify that, and then straighten that out with your soul? You know, these are good kids that have in many cases a great spiritual background, that are being forced to do things that are, again, counterintuitive to both their spirit,
yeah,
and their metanoia.
We're talking about the Horses for Heroes program, and another thing that you're doing, I don't know how you fit it all into one day and one year, all the work
neither do we
that you guys do. It's pretty amazing. But you worked with the legislature to basically get a program going with the New Mexico Correctional Department. So you're going to be working with low security prisoners.
Exactly. Well, what we realized, we'd been working with the first gentleman, Chuck Franco, and he had noticed that there was land available at some of the correctional institutions. So he asked me, he said, would you work on something? You've been pretty good with the cowboy program. He said, think about something that you might want to, how we could use this land, because we had been also working with the state and the New Mexico Livestock Board on the unwanted and the and abandoned horses and rescue horses. So that was an initiative that I had been asked to sit on the board with, the planning board. And so I gave it some thought. I brought the thought home, and we started thinking about it. I said, hold on a second. So I asked them to do a run for me. I said, how many honorably discharged veterans do we have in the New Mexico prison system? And so it just started. I started accumulating information. I realized that there was a whole lot of honorably discharged level one, level two type veterans in the New Mexico prison system. Nonviolent guys, you know, DUIs, maybe they got into a little bit of a jackpot because of something, and I couldn't help but feeling that it was connected with perhaps some undiagnosed PTSD or some untreated things that they didn't get the proper care for or treatment for. I'm not certainly condoning criminal activity, but I said there's got to be a better way around this, and in order to combat the recidivism, let's see if we couldn't get in there and do something. So we've made a proposal. I worked with Bill Sobel from the New Mexico Livestock Board. And we basically did a proposal to the legislature, and it is now called House Bill 2. And what it entails is that we'll provide our cowboy up veterans and staff to assist the correctional department and the honorably discharged minimal security inmates in the rehabilitation and the repurposing of those horses obtained by the livestock board. And then we'll instruct those inmates in horsemanship and working ranch skills. The whole previous year before that, we worked for them pro bono in designing the instructional program. We did the inmate selection criteria, facility infrastructure, and we worked with Dr. Manny Encinas working on the carrying capacities and the stocking ratios and what the selecting equipment and what the traffic would bear. How many horses could we actually put on that without denuding the grass and the pasture that they already had?
Right.
So we're waiting on some final legal things as would normally be with the state, but it looks like after the first of the year we'll be picking this back up and start bringing some horses in as soon as we get the rest of the infrastructure in place on the facility.
And so they presumably, I mean, minimum security prison, probably shorter sentences, and then when they get out they'll have some skills.
They will, and they'll also see that they can, again, using our restructuring or skill set restructuring concept, see that yes, they can turn around and they do have things that are in them that are valuable. including these students. We're trying to also work with NMSU on getting them college credit for working in this program. So that's how we're trying to design it right now. So hopefully we'll be able to do that as well. So they'll come out and they'll say, hey, let me get into an ag program at NMSU or Luna Community College or one of the places up there near Springer.
So what are you looking forward to next year?
Well, we're really looking forward to taking advantage of having the bunkhouse and now having a lodging facility that will enable, and you know as well as I do, consistency in training is vital and critical to excellence. And
yeah, I mean, a bunkhouse, this means people can come and live with you guys, be there 24/7, come from other places in the country.
Exactly, exactly.
I bet you've got way more people who want to come than you've got room for.
We actually do. We have a waiting list, but we try to work our way through the waiting list. And there's an application process. If they go on our website, horsesforheroes.org, they can basically apply. If they're eligible, we can take them in. We're an all-volunteer program. Nobody gets paid. We don't take a nickel in salary. We work off my pension. We live off my pension, and all the money goes towards the program and doing better things, getting better horses, doing better things with our guys. And the other thing, too, is the socialization part. The Maverick Rodeo Club up there in Cimarron has been great to us. The Working Ranch Cowboys Association has endorsed us, as did the Ranch Cowgirls Rodeo Association. So our veterans get a chance to go to some of these events and see a community that's embracing them and that has acknowledged their sacrifices and basically a community of love around them. And there's no better people that to be around than the people that work on the land.
Meanwhile, we have something coming up very soon, which is on Friday, the 13th of December at 6 o'clock. There's the Cowboy Christmas Dinner and Dance, which is a fabulous event that includes cocktails and silent auction and this year it's going to be a roast turkey dinner with all the trimmings, dancing. It's a lovely event.
Oh, it'll be a lot of fun. We have Kathy Faber and her country singing band, and they'll be performing for us, so everybody has to have their dancing boots on. But we also have a silent auction with wonderful gifts from artists such as Star York and Rosita Santiago and
Tom Ross,
and Ricardo Cate and many more.
And
many
Roberto more De Leon, who's actually sitting over there having breakfast.
And then we have a very, very special presentation I really can't talk too much about, but you're going to not want to miss it.
Give us a hint.
It's for the Gold Star Mothers of America.
Now, who are the Gold Star Mothers?
The Gold Star Mothers are families who have lost a son or daughter overseas, you know, in the theater, war theater.
And they are active participants in this dinner.
Yes. This is the second year in a row that they've basically thrown in with us. And they've adopted us, and they've been out to the ranch, and the Albuquerque chapter's been wonderful. And so we enjoy a very great relationship with them, and we do as many events as we can with them. If they invite us to certain things, and we invite them to everything that we do. But this is a real significant year for us too, because we're dedicating that west wall of the bunkhouse to them. And as Nancy said, she's kicking me under the table. She doesn't want me to give away the unveiling, but we're doing a very, very special.
They're unveiling something.
Yeah, something special for the and presenting it to the Gold Star Mothers. So we're basically going to present that to them and unveil it at our dinner, and then we're actually going to dedicate it, and the governor will probably come out for that on the Memorial Day and actually dedicate it on the wall at the ranch.
Now, if somebody's listening right now who is a veteran or maybe friends or family of veterans who would like to get more involved, what should they do?
Basically, we encourage them to first look at our website.
Horsesforheroes.org.
Look at the website. Go through the blog. Make sure that they read what it is that we really do. And more importantly, make sure they read and understand what we do not do. You know, so
what kind of things do people, what kind of misconceptions do people have?
Well, we got a call the other day. We have American Quarter Horses that are between ages 5 and probably 12 right now. These are horses that work on the the ranches that we spoke about, and will ride a big circle and work cattle for several days. And then we'll bring them off there. They'll give them a day off, and then the next day they'll be working with a veteran in a session with a veteran that's got a traumatic brain injury. So these are calm horses. These are very, very good working ranch horses, very well-bred American quarter horses. But we'll get a call from a lady that says, hey, I've got an Irish draft horse, 17 hands, 29 years old with no teeth, but he's a be great for your program. So those are the kind of things that, golly, we appreciate you thinking about us, but
yeah,
you know, those are the kind of things that we need to, and we don't do, again, we don't do the traditional horse therapy. We do skill set restructuring. So it's hands-on horsemanship from the ground up, starting on the ground and doing those kinds of things with the horses.
Right. So a new a veteran interested in our program should definitely go to the website and check out our frequently asked questions, and that's slashed with our apply. You can apply to our program there.
Oh, okay.
Really read thoroughly what we're about and go from there.
Excellent. Well, Rick Iannucci and Nancy DeSantis are with the Horses for Heroes New Mexico program and the Cowboy Up program and much, much more going on there. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas dinner is at La Fonda at 6 o'clock on Friday, the 13th of December. But if people want to get their tickets, they've got to reserve, what, in the next few days,
I
right?
think they do, yeah. We have to have all the final count into La Fonda by December, morning of December 9th. So
okay. All right, so you got a few days to do that.
A few days, but it's better to do it online.
Yep. Horsesforheroes.org. Nancy and Rick, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary. Charlotte. We appreciate it. We'll see you with your double H boots on, striking the night away.